Jason, I guess you're in charge. Glad to have you all.
So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that basically the way we took this approach is showing a little bit about what we do in high school classrooms to educate high school students about biodiesel and biofuels in general. And so biodiesel specifically, we're going to run through just a few of the slides that we showed high school students. And so, again, it won't be the full spectrum of what we do because we typically spend anywhere from an hour to 2 hours in each classroom. But we'll spend about 10 minutes as an overview of what we do in the classroom. And then we'll head down to the farm for a quick tour.
For this emerging energy expert, the Cliff Notes version of the biodiesel project was perfect. Jason Davis, a graduate research assistant for the Agriculture and Extension Education Department and our discussion facilitator for the day, explained that biodiesel is a produced fuel rather than a processed fuel. It is produced from plant oils or animal fats, along with a catalyst and methanol, through a process known as transesterification, taking the oils and fats and removing the glycerin from them, resulting in the fuel and the glycerin, which can then be refined and reused, like in cosmetics. The fact that there are not a lot of byproducts to get rid of is just one of many advantages to producing and using biodiesel. Jason explained other advantages, such as that it is renewable fuel that can be produced in the United States from a variety of sources.
There are a lot of advantages, obviously, to biodiesel, one of them being it's renewable fuel. And so we can grow it every year and then reproduce it every year, as opposed to petroleum fuel, which we have a limited supply of. It can be produced here in America, obviously a major advantage. And then the feedstocks are extremely flexible, from anything from soybean oil, canola oil, down to algae, which we were discussing earlier today. And so the flexibility of that also allows a lot of research to be done in a lot of areas, and so we can obviously produce a quality fuel from such a large amount of feedstocks. And then in general, you see the little asterisk there, it has cleaner emissions. And so one of the major advantages that the EPA recognizes to biodiesel is that it produces less emissions.
Biodiesel also has some disadvantages. The main one being problems with clouding or gelling. At lower temperatures, the oils and fats cause the diesel to get thicker and therefore unable to travel through fuel lines. Unless other measures are taken, like mixing it with processed diesel, the fuels can only be used during warmer months. The type of oil used to make the fuel helps to determine the level of gelling problems had. Picture two pans on your stove. One with bacon grease and one with a vegetable oil. Which one do you think would cause the most clouding problems if used to produce a biodiesel? The next leg of our journey took us across the farm to view the actual biodiesel operation. The university collects used cooking oil from each of the five cafeterias on campus, cart it back here, and run it through the transesterification process, turning it into biodiesel that they then use to run the farm equipment. I was expecting a much bigger operation. The metal building isn't much larger than a typical garage. The middle of the room held 15 or so barrels, which we formed a circle around. Along one side of the room were two large storage tanks, full of a dark liquid, the used cooking oil, perhaps. Two additional tanks were next. These connected to one another by tubes and hoses. This is where the magic happens. Next to an open garage door was another tank. The tube connected to this particular one has a gas pump on the other end for pumping the biodiesel into the farm equipment. Ron Cox, the assistant farm manager, is the man in charge of this operation. He invited us into his workshop to tell us about the project.
How we do it, this tank over here, would you take a forklift, take it back to pickup, take it to campus. We've got five cafeterias on campus. We have a collection drum at each cafeteria. We pump it out of the tank into here, bring it back into here, and then we pump the oil out of that tank into a processor. We put it in the tank. We heat it up to about 120-125 degrees.
The process takes about 4 hours. Cox then lets the batch sit overnight for about 10 hours. After this rest, the batch separates, biodiesel on top, and glycerin on the bottom. The farm uses the biodiesel to run tractors and uses the glycerin in composting. Cox guesses that about 25% of the farm's diesel needs are met by the project. Part of the reason it isn't more goes back to the main disadvantage, the clouding problem. The peak production season is almost exactly opposite from the peak use season. Cox says he has about 2,000 gallons of fuel in storage right now, ready for the coming warmer months. During the peak production time, Cox produces two batches per week, resulting in about 3,000 gallons of biodiesel a year. It costs the U of A about a dollar a gallon to make. With diesel now costing $3.50, they're earning $2.50 per gallon made. That results in annual earnings of $7,500. Not only is the project saving the university money, but it is getting the vegetable oil out of the waste stream and putting it to good use.
Come on in, folks. You want to come on in.
The final stop on our tour was another garage on the farm, where the Agriculture and Extension Education Department houses their test engines. Jason Davis and Professor Don Johnson had a demonstration to show us. This particular test engine is one that Davis brings to demonstrate to high school students and other interested groups, like mine, so that we may become better adopters of this technology. The engine sits on a trailer and is attached to two fuel tanks, one containing biodiesel, the other holding regular D2 petroleum diesel. A control panel allows users to switch between the two fuels without shutting the engine off.
And if you're watching the numbers and listening to the sound of the engine, when he switched it back and forth between the B20 and the number 2 petroleum diesel, you couldn't tell a bit of difference. So I always tell people that to an engine, it doesn't know what it's running on. If it's running on B20 biodiesel or if it's running on number 2 diesel, it's all the same to the engine. It performs just as well.
My fellow Energy Corps members were quite shy when I asked them how they plan to use this newly acquired knowledge in their service. One member, whose position is at Fayetteville Public Schools, plans to have Davis and his team give their presentation and demonstration to the student green teams. Another member is already using this technology, acquiring cooking oil from local restaurants to power her vehicle. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.